The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. It is at the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez coming at you live. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And if you want to drop us a line, we'd love to hear from you, Bill, at BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, it's a real honor for me right now to introduce you to my son. My son, who has been part of a media family. He knows he gets thrown into things sometimes, including, you know, whether it's a TV commercial, a radio commercial, anything that's radio, he happens to get drug in. But this time we get to have some fun because he just got back from Augusta at the Masters, and this was his first time. He and his mother went, and I guess you guys enjoyed yourself, right, Brian?
Yeah, you know, absolutely an amazing time. I have to say, for those who have just watched the Masters on TV like myself up until this year, truly does not do it justice. Absolutely amazing, gorgeous place to be at.
It's one of those bucket list experiences, clearly. You know, I think I told you when I went, and of course I was especially privileged, had an opportunity to play, you know, on the last day right before they closed the course down, dig it all up and rebuild it all over again the end of May 1 year. And that was a special experience as well. But I was absolutely captured immediately when I went there, and I just saw the colors. They were so vibrant and stark, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, the azaleas were popping. I know we heard some rumors there that they might not be as vibrant because of the fact that some of the weather that rolled through. But, you know, the place, the azaleas, the grass was just amazing. I still can't forget first day we walked in and we came in and, you know, you crest come down that hill after coming in the sixth gate and you're walking towards the course, and just the lushness of the course is like something I've never seen before, and how perfect it was, you know, like nothing I've ever seen. I have to say that's a memory for me that will stick in my mind forever, and hopefully for those who are listening have an opportunity to see one day, because it truly was breathtaking how just perfect that golf course was. I don't think I saw a seam in the fairway anywhere.
I was going to say, I don't think I witnessed a divot anywhere. I mean, everything was put back together, right? Exactly.
I mean, absolutely amazing. You know, truly great. And the hills that were rolling in there, you know, the trees. I feel like they even went out there and they, you know, they cleaned up the pine needles and put them in order, even
exactly.
Outside of the green there. So it was just truly impressive.
Well, you know, that area that Jordan Spieth will probably forever keep indelibly marked in his brain, Amen Corner, that number 12th hole. I can tell you, when I played it, I put my shot in the back of the green. I think I did end up in the bunker. I was telling everybody back home that they needed to pray for me for a hole-in-one, that if I got it, I knew they were praying for me. If I didn't get it, I knew they weren't praying for me. But I think I got misclubbed is what happened, you know, because the guy misclubbed me. I knew the club I should have went with, but it was really a great experience. But that whole corner, that whole Amen Corner, you talk about a photo. And, of course, there at Augusta, at the Masters, you're not allowed to have a cell phone there, right?
Yeah, no cell phones, and you know, I'd love to talk about Amen Corner a little bit as well, but before I do, yeah, no cell phones, which is, you know, obviously you go into something like that, not allowed to have any electronics or cell phones. You kind of freak out. You know, I think we're so attached to them nowadays, it makes it a little tough to walk away from that. But I'll have to say that was kind of a nice experience on its own. Creates a different buzz and environment in there because, as you know, there's no electronic scoreboards in Augusta National, even. Mm-hmm. Everything's done manually, and they have just the leaderboard with the top 10 leaders. And you get all that showing. But short of that, you only get to know the score of the group. And you kind of find out what's going on the golf course when you hear the roars and the sighs. And, you know, Jordan on you know, on 12 there. Ooh, that was tough.
About 30 seconds left here, B. But I know you had a great time. And hey, how much fun would it be to take our grandchildren, take the kiddos there, huh? Stephen,
yeah, absolutely.
And yeah. Ava going bananas there. No,
yeah, a lot of kids that we saw there definitely plan to take them. And actually, I signed Ava up for the chip drive putt competition, so maybe she'll earn her way there as well.
Well, good fun. Well, Brian Martinez, he's my number three son on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, B. Love you, buddy.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
75 years ago, America suffered one of the worst moments in American history, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now you can remember December 7th, 1941, with the purchase of the first ever 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-490-3200 right now for the official 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve, the only company authorized to distribute these 100% solid gold coins. Remember Pearl Harbor with this limited official gold release. 1-800-490-3200 or online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound?
Hey, welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here coming at you live at just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I want to remind you about the after show. We'll be on Facebook Live right after the show. Talk about the items of the day that are on your mind that require further discussion. Join us for that and interact and let us know what you're thinking about and your input so we can keep that discussion, that all important discussion, going here. With us right now, Ryan Morrow, National Security Analyst for the Clarion Project, a nonprofit organization that educates the public about the threat of Islamic extremism and provides a platform for voices of moderation and tolerance within the Muslim community. Ryan Morrow, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, great to have you here. Boy, there's so much to cover here. It's like almost where you want to begin. But I want to just as a sidebar, because I'm sure you're probably tracking on this a little bit, even though we're talking about a domestic situation. Let's go back 9/11, 2001. There is some important information that's kind of languishing out there that a Florida senator is saying, look, we need to get that information out there. The people need to know what the truth is because though the government would say they can't handle the truth, we're saying, hey, look, let us have the truth. I mean, already there's so many conspiracies and suggestions out there regarding 9/11. But we're told there's some, 28 pages that are just begging to be released here.
Right. And what's widely reported shows is that the connection between 9/11 and Saudi Arabia is much stronger in terms of how it incriminates the Saudi government. Not that the Saudi government as a whole orchestrated 9/11, but that officials knew about it, that officials supported the hijackers. And it's really damaging for their prestige, and we kind of know that, but we want to know the details. And yes, it could damage the relationship with Saudi Arabia, but maybe it's a relationship that needs to be damaged. This speaks to a broader problem that we have that really bothers me as someone who cares about our democracy in regards to the overclassification of information, the inability of citizens to get information. I'm always trying to get information from the government through the Freedom of Information Act. I see how easy it is for them to deny you something because they don't want you to have it or because the analyst is lazy and doesn't want to be bothered. And this is a good example of why we need some major reform here to give us some transparency.
What do you think it's going to take to get there, Ryan? I mean, in this information age in which we live in, the FOIA, Freedom Information Act that you're referring to, Judicial Watch, organizations like your own are constantly pounding the government. I mean, at some point, We've got to get beyond this. The cover that continues, whether it has to do with Benghazi or Hillary's emails, that sort of thing, the stalling tactics of the bureaucracy. I think we the people are fed up with this.
I agree. And until you see it firsthand, you don't really realize how bad it is. But I've been waiting years for some FOIAs to be processed, and what I'm probably going to get is a bunch of blank pages. It's really just unbelievable. The only way we're going to solve it is there's going to have to be a massive expansion in funding for analysts that handle FOIA, and I think it's worth it, considering I really think it's our democracy at stake. It depends on transparency. We probably need an agency that reviews documents held by other agencies to see what can be declassified, because you can't have the agency itself deciding what it wants to be released. We get stuck in a situation where we often have to sue, and then the law is written so broadly that you're going to lose the lawsuit and not get much anyway. So there's a bunch of different ideas I have on how to make it happen, but it's got to become an issue, even though most people won't file a Freedom of Information Act request in their lives.
Maybe if we had information on private servers, it would automatically be declassified. What do you think?
Yeah, right. One of the other ideas that could be thrown out there is that information will often automatically become declassified over time, but you won't know because you don't know what to ask for. If you don't know what exists, how do you ask for it?
Exactly.
And that information needs to be put in some type of research library somewhere where people can actually search, and it's all gathered, and people can actually look and go through these archives.
Yeah, you would think with the technology that exists today, that's an easy fix, isn't it?
It is if you can get the funding. That's another thing that they do. If you file a request, it's common for the government to say, okay, it's going to cost you $5,000, and we don't know what you're going to get from it. So you might be throwing that money into the trash. And so especially the electronic documents are easier to declassify and then theoretically have put in a library where everyone can search and have access to it. Paper documents are more difficult, but all right, well, then you're going to have to file the personnel to do it so that we can know what the government's up to and we can learn more about what's going on in the world from declassified government reports, like this issue with the Saudis. There's no way in my mind that that information is so damaging to national security that it can't be released. Maybe it'll hurt a relationship in foreign policy, but that's because it's the truth, and the Americans need to know about it.
Exactly. Well, and I think we need to deal head on. You know, our government officials need to deal with it. I mean, at this point, they've chosen to, you know, kind of sweep it, you know, under the rug, so to speak, and they're ignoring that 80,000-pound gorilla in the room here. Ryan, let's roll this back just a moment. Did I hear you correctly? I mean, they charge you like $5,000 to fulfill a FOIA request?
Oh,
yeah. Or just even when you request it, you got to accompany your request with a $5,000 payment.
No, you can request it for free, but what'll happen is that first it'll take a long time. Letters will go back and forth saying, we're processing, now we're going through an estimate, blah, blah, blah. And then finally they'll say, okay, our conclusion is that you need to spend $1,500 or $5,000, whatever. And as American citizens, we have no way to know how that came up with. They'll say, we think it'll cost X number of hours, man hours, to do this for you, and here's the price. So it's entirely, if you're trying to FOIA, for example, the CIA, which will very rarely give you anything, even from decades and decades ago. If they don't want to do it because it's even just a headache, all right, well, tell them it'll cost $10,000, and you know, then they'll go away and say, okay, we're not interested anymore.
Gotta be kidding me. We're paying them to do a job, and I guess somehow that doesn't fall under their purview, and they get to hijack us or hold it ransom in so many words. I mean, this seems so wrong on so many levels. And I know this bothers you, and probably you've been dealing with this, you know, a lot longer. And so this is the first time I'm hearing about being charged on a FOIA request. I don't know why I haven't heard about it before.
Because most people don't sit through the process to that point because it's so frustrating and it takes forever. Like I said, there's ones I know one right now that's been over 3 years, probably coming up on 4 years. I've been waiting just to get like some type of answer back on, and that's from the State Department. So it's really a messed up situation, and it was through Freedom of Information Act requests that I have found amazing information, like the terrorist camp in Texas. That was largely through FOIA. I was denied by most agencies, but I was able to fight my way to get some of those documents. But imagine how much was denied to me that I don't
exactly
even know about.
And I want to drill a lot more deeper into that on the other side of the break here. Ryan, gosh, it is so good to have you on with us. My head is still spinning over, you know, this extra charge that you have to deal with on a FOIA request. Is it any wonder? Maybe we ought to find out what is the longest running, you know, FOIA request out there, and we'll put it in the Guinness Book of World Records just to kind of enlighten everybody and let them know what's going on, huh?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Unbelievable. Our conversation with Ryan Morrow continues. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 14 minutes after the top of the hour. Make sure you go to BillMartinezLive.com for all the information you need to know.
Do you run a business and would like to learn how you can get anywhere from 5,000 to 1 million in 60 seconds? Then let me explain. We're called Capify. We've been loaning and advancing money to businesses for the past 13 years. If your business does at least $120,000 a year, gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business. Our terms are simple. Repayment plans are flexible and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $1 million in cold hard cash deposited in your business bank account in a few days based off your revenue. Call Capify now and get the money you need.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like that's what you want.
Join us online. BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, a little happy aerobics exercise to keep us moving this morning. Glad you could join us. This is Bill Martinez. Just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. I don't know if you caught this story out of St. Louis, Missouri. News 4 there has examined the policies for granting or denying personalized license plates or vanity plates, as you might know them, after receiving an email from a viewer. The viewer has seen a vanity plate on a car that belonged to a St. Louis County couple that read Jihad 1 and thought the plate was inappropriate because some people associate the word with terrorism. Well, News 4 discovered the plate belonged to a Muslim family. Ryan Morrow is with us. He is a national security analyst for the Clarion Project, a nonprofit organization that educates the public about the threat of Islamic extremism and provides a platform for voices of moderation and tolerance within the Muslim community. Ryan, you know, a license plate, though not a specific terrorist attack, but it is something that is right there in your face. Some would say, you know, maybe we're going a little overboard with our right to free speech to be able to have a vanity plate like that Jihad 1, you know, in an environment that sees this as a threat. What do you say?
Right now, I'm leaning towards allowing it just because I want to have as much freedom as possible, and it's a pretty. If they're going to do something like that. That's a pretty good idea of letting us know who to put surveillance on and who to do research on.
Right.
Because
right.
One of the things that really amazes me when I do my research is how extremists, whether it's ISIS or just someone that supports the Muslim Brotherhood or whatever, usually they end up running their mouth. Mm. Usually you go to their social media page and you will find something that tips you off that they're extremists. So I kind of like the idea of allowing a maximal level of free speech so that these people can tell us what they believe and give us hints as to where we need to be looking.
You know, I don't have a problem with them telling us. I just wonder if the people in charge are listening here. You know, this has been an ongoing, you know, situation. We have a president that says, hey, look, we're winning the war on ISIS. Former military personnel are saying, you know, not even close. We don't even understand what parallel universe he is in right now to come up with statements like that. It just doesn't make sense. And then here it is we see domestically, if it's not refugees that are coming en masse into this country that our security people have told us we can't possibly vet these. A former U.S. Marshal has come on the show here and said, Bill, every time we let refugees in, we get trouble in River City. It just comes with the territory. And so now more than ever in the kind of numbers we're looking at, we're going, whoa, what are we opening ourselves up to? And, you know, you consider what happened in Virginia, what happened in San Bernardino, California. And your question in your article is, do radicalized Islamic communities exist in the U.S.?
Right. And the reason that I title it that way is because one of the criticisms of Senator Cruz, when he said that there should be patrols and surveillance of Muslim communities when there's signs of extremism before it breeds into what we see in Europe, is that these communities don't exist. I was on the O'Reilly Factor with the former deputy national security advisor to the Clinton administration, and she said, we don't even know that these communities exist in the first place. Where are they?
Our response was,
I've got a map. And, you know, so it's publicly available information, and the best example I can give of this happening on an organized level is a group called Jamaat al-Fukra, and they operate under the name today Muslims of the Americas. Up to the early 1990s, they were engaged in terrorism, actually killing people. And then after they got one of their camps shut down, they scaled that back as far as we know. Who knows what they're doing, actually. And documents that I got my hands on from the raids on one of their camps shows in their own publications them saying our objective here and what we are doing is when we buy up this private land and we set up a village is implementing Sharia law. And they had pictures of people being disciplined physically, being whipped under Sharia law, and there was a note, and this really blew my mind, a note that was obtained by law enforcement from one of these raids, one to the member to the other, complaining about the unnecessary whipping of children.
Mm.
Going on in these villages right here in the United States. And they started being built all the way back in 1980. This note was taken from 1992. So all the while, today, people are saying, this is crazy, the idea of Sharia coming to America and radicalized communities. They don't even exist. They've existed since 1980, and we have proof of them actually implementing Sharia law among their members, including whipping children, since 1992. And we're still debating whether it's happening.
Exactly. And, Ryan, I've long believed if you want to know what somebody is going to do, look at what they've done. There is an established pattern. Bill Federer has been with us many times on the show, and he talks about the established pattern of the Muslim religion, the practice that they do follow Muhammad. There is a set line that they do. And throughout Europe, we've seen time and again how they've infiltrated communities, how they take over. And initially they come in under the guise of, you might say, taqiyya. They misrepresent their ambition and whatever, and they want to be perceived as moderate. Now, I understand this is a broad brush deal. I'm not saying all Muslims here, I guess, for the sensitivity of politically correct mindsets out there. But again, we have to look at this strategically. Remember what happened in World War II. It wasn't 100% of Germany that went Nazi. It was only 10%. That's all it was. So it doesn't take a huge number to affect a lot of evil and craziness. Okay, so you watch them follow the pattern of Muhammad and how they spread out in Europe. I mean, we just saw pictures and a report here in England how the Muslims there are insisting the heck with a democratic rule. They want Sharia. No exceptions about it.
And it can come in different stages, too.
Yes,
so
exactly.
If they're not beheading people and cutting off limbs, a lot of people are dismissive of it. They say, all right, well, Jamaat al-Fukr in the United States, it's a voluntary Sharia, well, except for the children, but among the adults, it's a voluntary Sharia. That doesn't make it any better. That's still an ideology that's fundamentally anti-American, that's saying that our identity is that we govern ourselves, and the United States is basically just a piece of land. And that's what results in terrorism, human rights abuses, and even if you don't want to go that far, violence. These things are destructive to society, the anti-Semitism, the belief in theocracy. All of these things are poison, and that's why you have to go after the ideology and not just focus on terrorism and acts of violence when there are villages being established by a group, even if they're non-violent right now, but they're anti-Semitic and anti-American, and they believe in crazy things. That's something that we should all be very concerned about.
Well, you know, this is a problem that you have fundamentally, Ryan, when you unhinge yourself from the Constitution of the United States. To me, that is the qualifier. Whether you're a citizen or you're coming in on a visa, and that is that you respect the law of the land, can you make a vow to obey the U.S. Constitution, to not violate our rules and do anything that would counter
it? Here's how they get around it. If you look at the publications, the same publications that Jamaat al-Fukr, this terrorist group, will say they're implementing Sharia and disciplining their people in accordance with Sharia, they will say, well, we're expressing our freedom of religion. This is what the Constitution is about. Mm-hmm. So they have this twisted form of patriotism because there will be radical Muslims in the United States that may have some affinity for America. Not complete, but some affinity, and so they're bridging that gap where they can say, look, you can be a radical, but here's a twisted form of patriotism so you don't feel unpatriotic when you follow that ideology.
This is what's wrong, Ryan. When people use our Constitution against us to violate the Constitution, is there no voice of reason to say, get out of here? You have no place in my courtroom with that kind of pretzel logic.
Political correctness, it's a deadly thing.
Well, it's what Justice Scalia would have called pure applesauce. You know, we got to call it for what it is. But here in the United States, we've got 22 Islamic villages growing amongst us. And ladies and gentlemen, you need to have your eyes wide open. Ryan, where can they go for more information to stay in contact with your organization?
The best thing they can do is go to clarionproject.org, and they can also learn more about the Muslim Brotherhood Terrorist Designation Act there, which they need their congressmen to sign on to.
Exactly. Ryan Morrow on Bill Martinez, National Security Analyst for the Clarion Project. Thank you, Ryan. It's just about 28 after the top of the hour right now.
experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother could use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
According to the Mayo Clinic, your bones are continuously changing. New bone is made and old bone is broken down. Now, when you're young, your body makes new bone faster than it breaks down old bone and your bone mass increases. Makes sense, doesn't it? Most people reach their peak bone mass at around 30. After that, bone remodeling continues, but you lose slightly more bone mass than you gain. Now, how likely you are to develop osteoporosis, a condition that causes bones to become weak and brittle, depends on how much bone mass you attain by the time you reach age 30 and how rapidly you lose it after that. The higher your peak bone mass, the more bone you have in the bank, and the less likely you are to develop osteoporosis as you age. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, we focus on absorbability of bone-building calcium, magnesium, vitamin D3, and boron. Try our 98% healthy body, bone, and joint pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live. Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, that's me, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here live. Did you know today is Equal Pay Day? Yes, it is Equal Pay Day. If we go back to 1963, women were paid 59 cents for every dollar paid to men. President Kennedy signed the Equal Pay Act, making it illegal for employers to pay lower wages to women doing substantially the same work as their male counterparts. And I know you're like me going, wait a minute, we had that law back in 1963. Why are we still catching up? Why did we need other laws? A couple other laws came along the way, including most recently the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act of 2009, which President Obama fulfilled in a campaign promise that he made and confirmed his commitment to equal pay for women. And here to help us understand the significance of Equal Pay Day, how far we've come since 1963 when you had this huge discrepancy, and to where we are today, and how we move forward on this to where there is that this becomes a mood issue and that it's kept in proper perspective. Hadley Heath Manning is with us. She's Health Policy Director at both the Independent Women's Voice and Independent Women's Forum. She also manages health policy projects, including healthreformquestions.com and healthcarelawsuits.org. Regularly represents the Independent Women's Forum in coalition meetings, conferences, and speaking engagements on the Beltway and across the United States as well. Hadley, thank you so much for being with us this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. And
okay.
Happy Equal Pay Day to you.
Yes, exactly. And for you as well. And hopefully, in your realm of work, that there is that proper parity. But as I stated earlier, in 1963, when this came to light and John F. Kennedy signed it into law, why the slow catch up here?
Well, it's important for women and especially young girls to know that we have made a lot of progress. We do have a lot to celebrate. In fact, we have even more to celebrate than some of those statistics from the Department of Labor might suggest. So today, the wage gap stands at about 77 cents on the dollar, or it might be closer to 82 cents on the dollar, depending on if you're using weekly wages or annual wages. But those statistics, importantly, don't compare men and women across the same profession or with the same level of experience, or don't hold constant the number of hours per week that those workers are working. So when we do correct for all of those confounding variables, as we say in economics or in statistics, we find that women and men are actually making very close to the same amount of money today. And a lot of the reason why we continue to see a disparity is because women continue to make different choices than men when it comes to their careers. They're choosing professions that are less lucrative, or choosing to really prioritize flexibility or vacation time or other softer benefits in their jobs than hard pay numbers. So there is a lot for women to celebrate today. In fact, we should, continue to work towards an economy where women have more flexibility, more opportunity, more prosperity. But of course, every once in a while, it's good to look around and say, look how far we've come.
Exactly. Well, in typical, government calculus, this is what scares us about Common Core, because if they can't get this right, how are they going to get Common Core math right, So, these numbers are so goofy that come out of the Beltway when they want to compare apples and oranges and somehow hold to some sort of false agenda. And then, it's like, it's tough because people like you come on, Hadley, and you give us the true numbers. And it's like, okay, who's lying to us now here, And, experientially, women out there are seeing this, and they also understand in business that there's a, there's a cost for flexibility. If you want flexibility, all that's good. And the fact that we can even offer flexibility on the workforce today to the degree that we offer it, I think it's extraordinary, and it really shows a lot about the growth of, development of what's happened with employees, for their benefit in the U.S. labor force today, don't you think?
That's right. And of course, we see a lot bigger difference in men and women's pay after those men and women become parents, because we see other studies that compare young working women who are single and childless to their male counterparts. And in some urban areas across the country, we see that those young women are actually out-earning their male counterparts. So rather than 77%, the wage gap becomes 108%. So there are some instances where women are out-earning men. It changes our calculus, though, as women and as men, when we become parents, because we do see from preference surveys, when you ask working fathers and working mothers what kind of ideal work situation they would idealize, men are more likely to say that they would prefer a full-time job with higher pay, and working mothers are more likely to say that they would prefer a part-time job where they could spend more time with their children, with their families. And we certainly shouldn't demonize the choices and preferences of women or men. Those are just differences between the sexes. And the sooner we learn to accept that and work that into the way that we analyze this wage gap issue, then the more we can understand that, the workplace isn't as sexist as the wage gap statistic might paint it to be.
Now, it would seem that the wage gap is adjusting here over the last couple of decades, where you have an increase of degreed women in the labor force, right?
Well, that's right. In fact, today women are earning the majority of bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, and PhDs. But that still doesn't change the fact that women, when they do become mothers, they have a different calculus in terms of how to approach their career. So we have some career trajectories that traditionally were overwhelmingly male. And today we have just about an equal number of young women graduating from medical school and law school as we have young men. But again, when those women reach the time in life when they start to have children of their own, they may decide to lean out of their professions and to take more days off or to have some added flexibility. And men are simply less likely to do that. That's the cultural difference between men and women. And it's part of, you know, the reason why we have a wage disparity. But I will say this, when I was very young and I was trying to decide what kind of profession I might pursue or dreaming about my future, I was just a child. And at that point, the wage gap stood at 70 cents on the dollar. And I remember reading this in a magazine, and it was so, so disempowering. I thought, why would I even try to, you know, fulfill my dreams and to reach my goals if the world is going to be so antagonistic towards me simply because I'm a girl or I'm a woman? And so it's important for us to tell young women that that's not necessarily the case, that you're likely to have a boss who wants to pay you fairly and wants to treat you fairly, but you can also make choices yourself that maximize your happiness or maximize your pay, depending on which direction you want to go.
Well, this scenario and narrative that's been put out there, like you say, it is disenfranchising. It's disheartening for a young woman to hear, you know, some of these, facts. And you go, wait, where's some of, you know, some of this information, not necessarily facts, because, you know, you've already brought to light that some of this is a bit of a false narrative. And it works against, you know, the ambitions of a young woman who wants to go out and make her mark, be successful, have a fair shot at it. And if the system is rigged and telling her, you know, that you're not going to get a fair shot, you sit there and go, okay, maybe I go with option B and not option A, which is the desire of my heart. You have just released, I say you, the IWF has just released Working for Women, A Modern Agenda for Improving Women's Lives. And you address and counter the left's narrative of this one-size-fits-all government mandate. I mean, they just have this theory and this idea of the way it should be. And, you know, they want you to toe the line with them. If not, we're just going to get the heavy hand of government once again on top of, you know, our freedoms to tell us how we're going to act, right?
Right. And there's something inherently sexist about presuming that all women are some kind of cookie cutter, that every woman wants the same thing, and therefore government mandates should secure those things for every woman, when in reality, we know, you know, you can look at any facet of life, including how women vote during election years. Women are not a single voting bloc. We are not a cookie cutter type of average woman. We are individual women. We have individual preferences, and so we believe in maximizing the freedom of women in the workplace and at home. So some of our suggestions in this report allow for maximum freedom, maximum opportunity, maximum prosperity for women and their families. That's more important than ever, because even though women have had tremendous success in terms of catching up with men professionally, our overall economy has been in such a slowdown over recent years that many women and men feel that they don't have the opportunity that they would like to have.
Exactly. Hadley Heath Manning, Health Policy Director of both Independent Women's Voice and the Independent Women's Forum. Thank you, Hadley.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
This report is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. For many, the American dream means financial independence, but is that a realistic goal for all of us? Most Americans consider themselves financially savvy, but a closer look at their finances doesn't always reflect their perceived understanding. According to a new study by Fifth Third Bank, financial independence was cited as a goal for over 80% of respondents. But for many Americans, staggering debt, poor retirement planning, and insufficient savings stand in the way of attaining that goal. 70% of Americans have some form of debt, yet 30% have no plan to pay it off. Jada Grandy, Senior Vice President, Fifth Third Bank.
Financial planning is one of the most important things you can do in life. From our survey results, we found that Americans are generally knowledgeable about basic financial concepts. The gap is applying that knowledge to personal behaviors in order to empower themselves for the future.
For more information, visit www.53.com/life.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro 1 G2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com or 800-544-3533.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach here. If you're a baby boomer and you're worried about the big epidemics coming, and I'm not talking about the bird flu or the swine flu, I'm talking about epidemics of Alzheimer's disease, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, arthritis, cancer. That's because the 80 million baby boomers followed all the advice of doctors, and Houston, we have a problem.
See Dr. Wallach live in Little Rock, Arkansas, Saturday, May 14th, 1 p.m. Go to www.cdocinarkansas.com. That's cdocinarkansas.com.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
You're listening to the best of Bill Martinez live.
Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Hey, welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. We're coming at you live. For more information on the show, Bill Martinez Live, that's where you want to go. We get to enjoy a little baseball reverie, if we can, all right? And we're going to go back to an exciting time that was happening in the state of California up in Oakland. Before Moneyball, there was Finley Ball, and we're going to take a behind-the-scenes look at Charlie Finley's Oakland A's legacy. Now, the question is, how did an insurance and high school principal turn a down-and-out team into a Major League Baseball's greatest dynasties, the Swinging A's of Oakland? They were World Series champs in 1972, 73, and 74. Nancy Finley is with us. She has written the book Finley Ball, how two outsiders turned the Oakland A's into a dynasty and changed the game forever. Nancy Finley, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you. Fine. Thank you for having me.
Hey, what a great opportunity for you. I mean, for all intents and purposes, you were a dugout daughter. I mean, there's been a lot of controversy about having kids in the dugout, but you were in the dugout at an early age and right there, you know, with all the guys and just watching all this excitement, the Oakland A's went from zero to hero, and it seemed almost overnight, didn't it?
Yes. Yes. Oh. And it surprised us. I could tell how fast it just went by, and no one expected it at least to happen that quickly.
Mm-hmm. What was the magic of it all, Nancy, in looking back?
It was focus, the farm team, the scouting, staying, I think just staying on the team and not getting off on anything outside of it with other other teams, like when we bought the Seals, Dad insisted that they stay focused on the baseball team.
Mm-hmm. Well, and okay, go ahead.
He insisted, and so Charlie did that. He thought they were going to do the same thing with the hockey team, but Dad said no. He said, we're in it for the long run with baseball, and then within a year or two, they were in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, they kind of held to that ideal that Tom Peters talks about in Search for Excellence. He refers to it as sticking to your knitting and having a tight focus. And
yes,
this is what, you know, the Finleys did, right?
Yes, it was. That's right. It was a focus, a borderline obsession, tenacity, just stick with it, and it make it everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, I can see looking back when they had the team, they were, I don't think Dad ever took a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Except traveling with the team, but it was just strictly focused, and I don't really think Charlie did. It was everything centered on the team, and they wanted to make sure that they kept the good players, cultivated the players, and it became a family.
Yeah, the players understood that, didn't they? I mean, you know, here with the kind of players, you know, that they had recruited along the way, you know, Reggie Jackson, Cash Fish Hunter, mm-hmm. Vita Blue, Raleigh Fingers. I mean, the name and Raleigh Fingers has become a dear friend along the way. You know, I've done several, children fundraising, golf tournaments with Raleigh, and and he's there. But I mean, you know, these Hall of Famers and that, you know, they often speak of their time at Oakland as, like you say, it was a family time. There was a fraternal bond amongst these players common respect, right?
That's what I say. It was, if you want to call it the management theory of F, you know, I don't know, but it was one of the ways that we ran it. That's why we had the competition of the mustaches.
Mm-hmm.
It was just fun competition. But
exactly.
It was a way to get them to bond, and they did bond.
Mm-hmm. And it was amazing, too, because, you know, it was at a time when everything was so disciplined, and that's what made, help kind of, bond them together and make them exciting, because they were counter the culture, weren't they?
They were. But that's what I think when you look at the other teams, if the other teams had all this money,
mm-hmm.
Like New York, mm-hmm. and we had a family and they knew each other, and they knew who was going to do what, you know. They didn't have to do a lot of signals. They could just look at each other with a certain face and know when to run. They worked as a family, and they were all pretty much across the board. Whereas with some teams, you might have three really good players, and then the others need to be lifted by those three. We didn't have that.
Yeah,
they weren't the same.
It was an incredible lineup that the offensive pitchers had to face, because it was one excellent player after another, very well focused and disciplined. Nancy, this is a book that you were compelled to write. You really felt like you had to write this book, didn't you?
Yes, because I wasn't hearing anything about us. And I didn't want people to forget,
mm-hmm.
because we went up against wealthy teams. We had a small front office, and we won three in a row.
Mm-hmm. And unlike Moneyball, you know, which has been out there and they made a movie about it, it was like your dad and uncle really was mindful. They kind of had a sixth sense. in building the team. They looked toward chemistry. How were these players, were they going to add or take away from the team aspect and that team dynamic, didn't they?
Yes, yes. And they had it, but together as partners they had it, because Charlie would have a very keen sense, especially, and he had to watch the game or listen, and he could tell if a player needed to maybe rest and have someone else come in, or what they needed to do the next inning. But he would bounce things off Dad, and they made a really good partnership, because also the egos. Dad would try to tell Charlie what to say, and Charlie did it most times. He did. Sometimes he didn't stay with the script, but they worked off each other. They couldn't have done it without each other, because Dad was in Oakland all the time to run the team, and Charlie was in Chicago. But he talked to Dad every morning to go over that day, and Dad would sign off on the roster every afternoon.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
Down to that. Wow, that's awesome. You know, Nancy, what you're pointing out here is what a lot of people will see in partnerships, and that is there's a complement of talent and giftings that come together. And with Charlie and Carl, as I'm understanding and even read in your book, is Charlie was kind of the visionary and Carl was the administrator. Is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And Charlie, the creator and creativity, but yet he wanted to tell Dad, to see Dad's reaction. Actually, if Dad did not react well to something Charlie was excited about, Charlie would back off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he made, you know, I think he had an idea and an understanding that baseball could be entertaining. There was some entertainment aspect of the game that was missing at that time.
Yeah.
And I remember when they came out and everybody was wearing, you know, white shoes. Nobody wears white shoes in baseball. What are they doing wearing white shoes, right?
I remember that. Charlie was real excited about those shoes. He showed Dad the prototype. He could not wait. And he thought it was just the best thing ever. He just, every time he did something, he thought baseball would be so excited. Dad said when he showed him those shoes, he was sort of jumping up and down like a little boy would. When he, you know, he just expected Dad to react differently. And Dad said, I stood there and realized what I was looking at, because Charlie had talked about the white shoes. He brought the white shoes to show Dad. And he was just so excited.
Exactly. Well, so what is the main thing, Nancy? We've got less than a minute here. What's the main thing you want our readers to take away from Finley Ball?
How much we wanted to change the team to make it exciting and remember our dynasty that we achieved with going up against teams with a lot more money, and we won.
Mm-hmm.
We focused, we just stayed with the team and achieved it, and even won 71 and 75 and rebuilt the team.
Exactly.
And then got to 81.
Well, congratulations on the book, Nancy Finley. Finley Ball, How Two Outsiders Turned the Oakland A's Into a Dynasty.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.